Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is September 1st. It is the start of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. Andy Ayers here from the Fairy Godmother Project. Andy, for you and I, September 1st is a really special day.
Every day with you is special, Ted.
Well, of course. Of course it is. And you too. But there is a lot of history with us on this day.
Yes, there sure is. It's been 7 years since my first September 1st with you. When I brought Kaylee Leahy in. And life-changing, day-changing.
It certainly was. Middle of that show, I have never done it since. I texted my boss, our general manager, and said, you ought to turn the show on if you're not listening right now. We've never had a show like this before.
Yeah, and never since, I don't think.
Not even close.
Yeah. I mean, Kaylee, for those of you who don't know Kaylee, it was a JM student who went to UVA who had leukemia and caused by the treatment from her first cancer that she had survived. So I brought her on the show on September 1st, and she shared that she had made a decision to stop treatment. Mm-hmm. And it caused an unbelievable ripple effect with our community of helping her to get to see the Rockies again.
It did. As the show went along, and you had told me ahead of time that she had told you just a day or two before, yeah, about the treatment, and that she was willing to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the show started, and we introduced her, and we talked about what Fairy Godmother Project had meant to her and her family. And the whole time I'm thinking, what do I ask? How do we get into this? And right before the first break, she just brought it right up. Yeah. and went from there, and talked about she was old enough now that she could make that decision. And she just carried the show.
Yes, she did. Yeah. And so, actually, I tried to find the show just to listen to it again. So I need you to get me that link.
Okay.
Yeah, because I would love to hear it again. I'm sure I'll have a mega breakdown, but I would love to hear that again.
I was going to, too. I would. In fact, I had thought of it today, of trying to pull some things out. And I just thought, I don't know that I would be ready to hear that.
I know. I'm not sure I would either. Just thinking about it makes me want to cry. I'm not sure how it would feel to hear that conversation again.
Yeah. Well, and it caught us so by surprise, because that's when she talked about going to the Rockies.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm sure the community can make that happen.
Boy, did they.
And did they.
Yeah.
And they did within just a couple of days.
Right.
So much so that early on, because, I mean, literally, this show ended at 9. And I think by later that morning, things were all coming into place, and we were trying to figure out how do we deal with this, and we'll send it to you. Everything's
yes.
got to go through you.
Right.
And you had made plans.
Right.
And so Jennifer Reynolds.
Yes, Jennifer Reynolds helped. Yeah.
And so she called me up and said, Andy's not going to be available to do this. I'm going to be your point person.
Yep.
Here's what we're dealing with.
Yeah,
and so we took over.
I had left here that day and gone, and we did Stafford County declared it Childhood Cancer Awareness mm-hmm. Month in Stafford County. So I'd gone from here to there with all of these different families. We went, we had this big picture and stuff, and then my kids and I were going on a trip. So I was completely not involved in the process of what was happening at all, and Jennifer did just an amazing job just organizing it and putting it together, and we had someone donate money for fuel, even though they didn't get a tax write-off because FGP couldn't receive the money in that way. And so they said they didn't care. They just wrote a check, and that went to pay for the fuel for the plane, and someone donated their plane. And I mean, it was this unbelievable. Jennifer connected with someone out in Colorado that provided housing for them at this place they got to stay. I mean, it was just this amazing thing. It was like one of those moments where you know, I think we both felt this, like, so proud to be from this community.
It was. It, because I can remember the new Stafford High School was opening.
Oh, yeah.
I was over there with for a tour. And the whole time, I'm getting questions from here, and then I'm forwarding them to Jennifer. I always will remember that, standing in the parking lot afterwards of just trying to put all of this together.
Right.
Because I can remember Jennifer writing me and saying, okay, we got the plane, but now we need the fuel.
Right.
And then it was, okay, we've got the fuel. And, it was the craziest thing. And the other crazy thing was, I didn't know until way after. I think there was a newspaper article a week or two after all of this happened. I never knew Kaylee's last name. She was just you introduced her as Kaylee. We went with that.
And then, but someone had put Kaylee McConnell in a thing that went out the day after, and Leslie and I just thought that was hilarious. And I did too. Like,
yeah.
Oh, now you're my daughter. Look at that. Yeah.
Because people would ask me and just say, Whose daughter, you know, whose daughter
who
is she? And I said, you know, I don't really know. That never was. The moment came so quickly.
Yes, it did. It was just awesome. I mean, every time I think about that, it gives me, obviously it's kind of bittersweet, right? Like missing Kaylee terribly, but the joy and the goodness in our community, you know, the sweetness of that people who do rally and people do show up, and when people show up and it's not for recognition,
like
that is always sort of a big thing, you know. And I remember someone had reached out to me and like offered some other like thing, like, well, we could get her a plane to here, you know, and I was like, but that's not what.
Yeah. There were a couple of times.
Yeah,
there were
like things, that's not what we're looking for.
Yeah. I remember you stepping in and saying, no, this is what
they've asked for. And
yeah.
And it was important. And, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to see the Rockies?
Oh, and the pictures of her.
I know.
I still can remember all those pictures of just the joy.
Yes, the joy and the time she got with her parents and with her brother John.
Yeah.
I mean, just wonderful.
So that's why September 1st.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at.
Is so important to us.
Yeah.
And why the only time we've missed doing a show is when September 1st has come on a Saturday or a Sunday, and we've either done it on a Friday or a Monday.
But that just doesn't seem okay.
It doesn't.
No.
If there is something about this day in this hour.
Right.
I can remember after that first break when she announced it, and I'm not even sure that her parents knew at that point that she had made that decision.
They did know, but they didn't know. I don't know if they knew she was going to talk
about
it. I think they probably did, because she was so open with them.
Okay.
But I wonder. But I don't think the community, you know, they're very connected in the community, so probably other people, that was the first time they heard about it.
Yeah. No, I remember, too, that she took, at some point in the break, she looks over at her phone, and she said, oh, yeah, my parents are listening, and they're crying. And I thought, it was so memorable.
It was, yeah. And it's funny, last night when I posted about being on today, the first thing I said was, we're going to reminisce.
Yeah.
Like, be prepared. Ted and I have a moment.
It is our moment.
It's our moment of remembering Kaylee and, you know, how amazing that day was. But also she was just.
Yes. We'll come back and talk about that. We need to take a quick break and come back and continue on. Andy Ayers, Fairy Godmother Project here this morning. FGPinfo.org, the website. To find out there's also a great Facebook page, and if you want to get involved for donating or just volunteering with Fairy Godmother Project, they work with the families of pediatric cancer patients. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy Ayers here this morning with Fairy Godmother Project. Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month is September. We're going to talk about what Fairy Godmother Project is doing to that, but it was, and I couldn't remember, 7 years ago today.
Yeah, it was 2015, because she passed away in 2016.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So So
I remember just a number of things I have learned, and I really learned from Kaylee, and I learned from Gwen Braswell about the importance of saying names, because up until then, when I had interviewed parents who had lost children, I really hesitated and would find every way to go around it, right? Because it generally would elicit tears. And I have learned through those two especially how important it is to mention you know, Kaylee's name and others.
And I think the tears aren't always what we think they are, right? Like,
no.
Tears can be tears of relief that you remember, mm-hmm. instead of like, oh my gosh, I've poked the bear and they're going to lose it. And in reality, so what if they do? You know, like, let them feel that grief in a space. I think that when we do say the names of children who have died, we give the family a safe space, right? Like, oh, this person's not uncomfortable. It's okay for me to feel in this situation. You know, I think one of the things that I've learned from families is, you know, they're always, not always, but they're often kind of navigating and reading other people to see what they can handle. You know, like the question of, how many children do you have?
Right.
There's a pause there before they make that answer based on how they think the person is going to receive it. You know, do we say three do we only have two that are still alive? Do we say three and go into it with the person we're talking to? You know, in a new social situation, that can be a really hard thing. And I think that each time it's navigated differently. I have a friend who has four children, three are living, unrelated to FGP. And I remember a conversation where someone said to the husband, how many children do you have? And no one would have noticed it except me because of the work I've been doing for years. But mm-hmm. I remember this brief moment of pause from him where I think he was debating, do I say four or do I say three? And he went with three. And, you know, but I've heard from parents that then even when you do that, then there's regret. Like, how did I not mention that fourth child, even though it was so that they didn't get into a conversation with someone who may not be able to handle or receive it? You know, there's a lot of navigation in loss of a child. It's so very different than, you know, my parent died. You know, that's the way it's meant to be, right? But we're not meant to outlive our children. And so there's constant navigation for the families on how will this person receive it? Are they going to be uncomfortable? Will I be, you know, getting pity from them? Because that's the biggest thing. Like, they don't want pity. You know, there's a fine line between pity and empathy.
Well, and Fair Godmother Project has done a great job just of educating me. And I think that the community in every child has in some way, especially the ones you have promoted, has in some way taught us something. Mm-hmm. Kaylee was able to because she was older, very articulate, very smart, and was able to express things. But the kids at the same way, whether it was somebody like Josh who just, you know, lived life to his fullest,
yes,
despite all the things of going back mm-hmm. and forth to Memphis, or even just some of the kids that were, you know, sometimes hard to get along with.
Right.
You know, everybody's not an angel.
Yeah. And one year at the ball, many years ago it feels like, but I did a speech about the lesson that I learned about each child who had passed.
Mm.
And what's interesting about it is you know, like, they were genuine lessons that furthered our organization and furthered me personally. Like, you know, I think about one boy named Trey. I saw Trey, probably met him for the first time maybe 10 days before he died. And the lesson there was that not everyone who's sick looks sick. Like, Trey literally looked completely healthy, was up and about. He was, and I was there for the hospice intake meeting. And you wouldn't have looked at him and thought, this boy's dying, but he was. And that was a good lesson for us as an organization, that you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't look at a child and make an assumption about their disease progress. And I think people do that a lot with, well, the hair's back, they must be fine. No, that's not how it works, mm-hmm. you know? And so that was that was a huge lesson for me, was like, wow, you know, you don't know just by looking at someone how sick they are, they aren't. And he died, like I said, about 10 days later. But yeah, each one was like a different lesson that either steered our organization and programming, or like helped me understand the families better. You know, I mean, I could go through all of them, but like one I'll never forget, very early on in FGP, we did a fundraiser before we were like officially, and it was specifically for a family, which the way our bylaws are written, and we aren't able to do that now. But the dad came up to me and said, you know, thanked me for the fundraiser and said, like, you know, you don't even know us and you're doing this. And he said, it's so hard to be a dad. My job is to protect and provide for my children. And I can't do either one because of cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we hear from moms all the time, like we're much more engaged with the moms. But that was a really, like, a really important reminder and lesson for me that, like, as a dad, that's the expectation, right? Like, you protect your children and you're the provider. And suddenly cancer shows up and you don't can't make bills because the expenses are so great and you're not having to travel and do all these things. And there's no way to protect your child from cancer. And that just gave me, I feel like those words to me, like they were so profound in that moment. And that was probably 11 years ago, but I've never forgotten that. And I remember that every time I interact with a dad, that like they're, even if they're not expressing it, there's pain there, that they can't do what society says they should be. And at the heart of who they are, they want to be doing.
That's so interesting. Cause I can remember the exact room sitting in at MCV on a Saturday morning one time and just looking at the back of the dripping of the him getting chemo and just thinking, I can't do one thing.
Right.
There's just, I can't just say, I'll take it instead. You do. Yeah. It is such a helpless feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so through the years, it's amazing the different lessons that have come to, that have benefited our organization, you know, knowing that, when parents open up to us, it gives us insight that we don't have because no one, you know, I didn't have a child with cancer, thank God. And so I don't have that insight. So instead of having my insight, which sometimes people start nonprofits because their child had cancer and mm-hmm. they want to do these things, I am given the insight when families are willing to share it. And we are, as an organization, given that insight that we can then do to better serve them when they do open up in that way.
When Kaylee was here, the other thing I think I always will remember about September 1st. So we sit in here for this hour, and it was just so profound.
It was.
And afterwards, I say, hey, do you want to go? Do you want to go next door and see the B101.5 studios?
Yeah, right.
And she just lit up.
I know, like it was famous. She got to meet Dee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She walked in there, and she became a kid. There's Taylor Swift. There's, you know,
right,
she's looking at
up, yeah.
all the, she's looking at all the music and,
right.
and looking at things. And I just thought, she's a kid.
Yeah.
And every time she was in the radio station and did something like that, the other interesting thing was everybody kept saying, oh, well, you're going to have her back. And we never did another show with her on this show.
I know.
It never... And some of it was just because because of just things going on.
Right.
And but it always, to me, I never really, you know, tried to pursue it, you know, with you or her family to say, do you want to do it again? Because that was just a moment.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I don't know how, you know, I thought time-wise, this is like just a little over 40 minutes. And
right.
I thought, I don't know that we can ever recreate that.
Right. Yeah,
and everything happened then so quickly afterwards.
Right,
yeah. I did do an interview with her on B101.5 afterwards after they came back,
mm-hmm.
but we never did a show of her just talking about the trip
the
and all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes it's good to just like that was an epic moment.
It
the
was
pressure of it. Being that good again, right? You know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just try to pull more things out of her. She
right.
talked so much that day, just
so
about,
honestly,
yeah,
and openly and vulnerably, yeah.
What she had gone through, and I just remember just thinking, wow, all that you're facing and you have gone through, and you still have such an optimistic attitude,
mm-hmm.
and kept talking about the future.
I know. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she was volunteering for us at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she just. Yeah, she's just amazing in so many ways. There's so many. And I love, I mean, her legacy will go on and on forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she impacted so many people.
Whether it's through service, the day of service mm-hmm. continues to go on. But I even remember I had friends who were getting cancer treatment at the time over at the cancer center there where she was
mm-hmm.
and would come back and say, I met your friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was just upbeat and you know, all, you know, all those kinds of things. Yeah. So she, how she portrayed herself that day was, that was Kaylee.
Yeah. And I loved being able to, I used to go and sit with her while she was getting blood and getting platelets and stuff. And I mean, just so many great conversations. She was a person that just made you think, you know, think in ways that maybe you wouldn't. I mean, gosh.
And didn't she tell you that, you know, after I'm gone, you need to be friends with my parents?
Well, she sort of set us up. Like, Leslie, John, and I have discussed this. Like, the day she told me that she was done with treatment, she and I went out to lunch. And then she said, would you like to come over for dinner tonight? And I was like, you know, you just made this huge decision. I assume your family's going to want time together. She's like, well, I'll check with my mom. Sure enough, I get a text from her, come over for dinner. And I had met Leslie and John, but not really, you know, up until that point. And that was sort of the beginning of, you know, what I believe will be a lifelong friendship. And she said something to me like it gave her some comfort knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they definitely brought me comfort, and I hope vice versa after she was gone. Yeah. I mean, she made a difference in so many ways. And it, you know, I know like grief shifts and changes, but every day that she's gone, I don't know, just feels too long since I saw her, too long since I had lunch with her, too long since...
Oh, I see those pictures of you and her at lunch.
I know.
Just think, oh, I wish I'd been invited
it was
that day.
So, well...
I would have paid.
Yeah, I mean, we had a really special friendship, and I'd love for her to see my kids now and all those things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome. And in the words of my daughter, Evie, you missed out if you didn't meet her.
Yeah.
That was part of my eulogy. And it's possible that Evie was just being passive aggressive because her brother and sister had not met Kaylee, but she had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be.
But she really was special. There was something so unique about her and loving and that smile. Good Lord. She could light up a room and make anyone feel loved. And I think she made people...
Yep.
Didn't love themselves feel loved too.
Yeah.
You know.
September 1st is the beginning of Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. FGPinfo.com, information on Fairy Godmother Project and what they do in this community. We'll get into what some of the things being planned for this month and some other things as we go along with Andy Ayers this morning, the executive director of the Fairy Godmother Project. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to...
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. Andy Ayers here this morning, the executive director for the Fairy Godmother Project. FGPinfo.org is the website. I like and the mission statement, and just part of the mission statement that to me as someone who did have a son who was treated for leukemia 20 some years now, but part of the mission statement is ease the burden of the day on families, and it goes on from there. And that really was, I mean, it is a burden. And anything you can do, and that's the great thing about what Fairy Godmother Project does.
Yeah, and you know, all of our families do travel for treatment, even though now Children's National is partnering with Mary Washington and they're going to get treatment up and running. They don't yet have it. So all of our families do continue to travel, and that's an added financial and emotional burden, really. And then there's all the logistics that come with that. You know, what do you do with the other kids? Because they'll be off the bus before you get back from Richmond from treatment. And it's just so much stress, and it's just hard. And then you're also just dealing with regular life. You know, like that's the thing that's really been more pronounced for me lately. I actually have a friend, a local friend, whose daughter was diagnosed in March, really good friend. And it's given me different insight because she and I are, she's not like a new family coming in. She's someone I've known for, oh my gosh, probably 15 years. And so or 14 years. So it gives me different insight into the day-to-day is so hard. You know, like, I know these things, but I don't, right? So it's been a wonderful reminder for me in some ways of how hard it really is and how much we do really matters, you know, because families are, like, waiting. They go through treatment, and then they're waiting to see what happens, right? Does the child get a fever because their immune system is, you know, like, knocked out from the chemo?
And then you're rushing back to the hospital.
And then they rush to the hospital, and then are they in the hospital for 3 days? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that becomes the routine. But then you still have other kids at home.
Yep.
And you still have people that have jobs. And you still, you know, and so it's this, it's just the juggle. You know, as parents, we juggle. That's what we do, right? You're like 500 balls in the air. We've got to get this kid to this and this kid to that. But then, you know, watching a family so personally do all of that while also navigating all the cancer stuff is, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to watch.
You lose track of time.
Yes.
When it is, especially, I just remember trying to keep up with the kids, or, you know, going to a soccer game and then somebody coming up and saying, talking about something that was going on in the community, right, or yeah, just in your little sphere of people, and you have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Because, like you say, for the last day and a half or 2 days, you've been sitting in a hospital.
Right. Or, like,
waiting
in the emergency room.
Right.
Waiting and waiting and waiting. Yeah. So it's been an interesting time for me the last 6 months, I guess. Yeah, 6 months, to watch that from a more personal level. You know, like, we get to know our families and those kinds of things, but it's a different perspective when it's a friend. And you know, I mean, this particular friend is literally like Superwoman. I mean, amazing to watch. And just to watch how she, you know, she had just the other day was in the hospital with her child and then got out of the hospital in time to get to two of the other kids' soccer games,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
And you forget. And, you know, I think about how, like, my kids are at a point now where one's driving and he can drive the others and all that kind of stuff. And if I have to drive someone maybe to, like, you know, I have to, like, last night I had to go drop someone off to watch a friend play volleyball. And I'm like, oh, God, this is so much work, you know? And it's not, right?
Right.
It's not at all. But it is in my little head.
And I got a different perspective. And again, this in my case, I'm talking 20-some years ago, mm-hmm, this happened. But hearing from a couple of the families that really stepped up for us.
Yes.
And the connection that they have, or just the stories they have of taking care of our kids.
Right.
Are really, I mean, they enjoy, you know, they look back on it, and it may have at the time been a real burden, but they just said it was a joy to be able to do that. And
right,
so if you can do
help,
that,
right?
Yes.
Being able to help feels so good. And that's, I mean, that's the reality of it, is I think sometimes if people get out of their own way and realize that even if they're facing hard things, helping someone else does make you feel better. It does. I mean, it's why FGP exists, you know?
Yeah.
I remember in the beginning, everyone was like, you're the most selfless woman on the planet. And I'm like, no, I'm home with 3 small children. My husband is deployed and I might lose my mind.
Yeah.
And I needed to find something outside of my little world that could do good so that I could get out of my own head of how hard my life was. And that is why FGP happened. I mean, there were other factors, but that was one of the main things, was I needed to be doing something for other people because I was lost in the difficulty of doing everything for myself, not doing anything for myself, but mainly doing for my children. And that's why I did it. And, you know, I mean, anyone who wants to volunteer, that's the thing. You do feel better. Even if you're at your worst and you are struggling in whatever way, if you even give an hour a month to other people, mm-hmm, you will find that there is so much goodness in those moments.
It's so hard to ask, too. At least it was for me.
Right.
I hated imposing on people.
Right.
We can't ask them to do anymore. Mm. And people want, I was finally told by somebody, you know, you have to let them,
yep,
you let them do that because you're robbing them of the, yep, blessing of helping you.
And it's so true. I remember when I got divorced and a friend said to me, what can I do to help? And my gut was to say, nothing, I'm fine.
I got it.
Instead, I said, you could help me with laundry.
Mm-hmm.
She came over and she literally got me completely caught up on laundry because I had just been so overwhelmed with what was happening in my life. Completely caught up. And the relief I felt when it was done, but then also the joy it brought her to be able to help was really important. And over the years, I've learned that too with FGP and watched those families who don't want to ask for help, and they don't, and then they always regret that they didn't come to us sooner.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's just little things, and you let people decide at what level they, and what they need.
Yeah, a mom just posted recently, someone shared it with me, I'm not friends with her on Facebook, but she posted that for months people had been messaging her. We had reached out to her and said, this is who we are, let us help you, let us help you. And she kept saying, we're good, we've got it. She just didn't want to do it, didn't want to do it, and then finally said yes to us. And she said, and then I regretted that I didn't say yes sooner because the help was exactly what we needed.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the thing. We've listened enough to the families that we try and bring the help that is needed, not what we think they need. And then we let them choose how they want the support. So that's a whole other level. It isn't just, hey, we're going to hand you this thing and this is all you get. It's, what would you prefer? Do you want your lawn mowed? Do you want your house cleaned? Do you just want meals? Do you just want gas cards, grocery cards? What do you want? And what would make your life easier? What would really, truly relieve that burden for you as an individual family?
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference. You know, I think it makes a difference to be able to choose that. There was a time when we didn't. We're like, this is what you get. And if you don't want it, I'm sorry. You don't have to take it. But then it was like, wait, budgeting wise, it makes more sense to say all these things cost this. Combined, you pick. And we have a point system the families use. So
now it's a great thing to have in this community.
Yeah. It is.
Just because, like you say, because in all cases, everyone's getting treatment elsewhere. So they're going to be gone, and this is something at home that
they can count
help serve things. So what do you have planned for this month?
Oh my gosh, Ted, do we have enough time, or should we wait until the next break?
We can go.
We got a lot. So you know how in the past we've always had our Stardust Ball.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we don't have it this month because we've moved it to the spring. And so because of that, we've been able to really like run with the Heart of Gold campaign. So we have schools involved doing gold out games and that sort of thing. Stafford High School's involved, FA's involved, Mountain View. We tried to get as many kids as we could from different schools. And I'm a believer that when it comes to high school kids, a parent telling me their child wants to do it isn't the way we work. So the kid has to apply, they have to show up, they have to come to the meetings, they have to be in touch.
Okay.
And if they don't, then they don't do it. You know, we had quite a few kids apply that never followed through, but we're not chasing them. We will give them the information. If they choose to do it, mm-hmm. great. But so we have some, you know, some great engagement with that. We have different schools are doing helmet decals for the month of September. We have the Gold Out Games at the different schools, like Stafford High School's is the 23rd. And then on the 15th of this month, we have our community-wide, hopefully, Gold Out Day. And we're asking people to wear gold, wear ribbons. We have bracelets. And then we also have done a big thing downtown where we've been going around and getting tutu pictures. Remember our tutu campaign from years ago?
That's how I first met you.
Yes, and we're implementing that again. And we also have businesses that have agreed, which is amazing. And when I'm on next, I'll tell you all of them, but who have agreed to have a decal in their window that says, this business has a heart of gold for childhood cancer.
Okay.
And so you'll see those around town. And then it has a QR code to our page that tells all the different things you can be doing to be involved this month. And then we have this year, we also moved our day of giving to the last day of the month, the 30th.
Okay.
So instead of it being in the spring, we're having it that day. And that day we also have a blood drive. So lots of different things. We're going to be doing huge social media campaign to promote it, promote the different people who are supporting us with the Tutu campaign. And hopefully you'll see the stuff all around town, the decals, the bracelets, the ribbons, the photos. We even like are sending photos, all the people that did the tutus, we're giving them a picture of them in the tutu that hopefully they'll use to promote what we're doing. So, yeah, so that's what we got going on.
A lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would do more and more and more. I mean, I love that we're trying to raise more awareness in the community about childhood cancer. I mean, people still don't realize it.
No, until you meet somebody.
Yes,
until someone in your circle or you're in your church or somewhere, your neighborhood or your school, somebody in your. I can remember my kids when I sat down and talked to them about what was happening with John, and they all said, "Oh, does he have like? There's somebody in my class with a bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's going to have? Right. Kinds of things. But yeah, until it hits your family, sometimes
Or a friend or something. But so few people, it's not even on their radar. And another thing I do, I have done for the last few years is go into, there's a teacher at Ferry Farm Elementary that invites me to come in and read a book to her students. They all wear gold that day. Mm-hmm. And this year she's going to have the whole grade level involved. And I'll read a book, go and read a book to the kids about cancer and about, like, you know, kindness when someone looks different and what that looks like and why should we be, you know, more aware of not being a bully, you know, and like being good to these kids when they're facing this hard time. So I have a great book that I read every year.
FGPinfo.org for Fairy Godmother Project. Andy Ayers here this morning, and we'll take a quick break and wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Andy Ayers, Executive Director of the Fairy Godmother Project, in this morning. Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month is this month. And lots of ways to get involved. And you just mentioned some of the things going on. And there are ways to donating funds helps with all that you're doing. And also, Andy, there's just ways of volunteering your time. And if this is an area you want to get involved in, because like you say, most of us at some point you're gonna run into somebody. It could be a coworker, it could be another family member, right. But it unfortunately is there, and once it starts, all the things that we have talked about this morning become very real to you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in our community, we have great volunteers, and we always have opportunities for volunteering. And you can go to our website and actually watch the training video and take a little quiz, and then that starts the volunteer process. And so it's very easy to become a volunteer, I think. And then also, if anyone who's listening has a business and they're interested in doing the tutus, you know, it's a great way to not only support us and raise awareness for childhood cancer, but it's also great for your business to be seen in the community supporting, you know, an organization. And you never know how that will help you and make connections. And so if anyone listening wants to do the tutu campaign, we are more than willing. We are on a roll. We can come to the business and take photos, and then we'll be posting all of the people who have supported us this month throughout the month on social media. We'll be posting on Instagram stories and also on Facebook. And there's lots of ways to get involved. And if your business is willing to have join us on the Gold Day, we'll bring you ribbons and bracelets and everything. We'll bring you, like, we have business packages. So we're happy to bring them to anyone who wants them.
For the longest time, I had ribbons that I had yellow ribbons on my on hats that I would wear and everything. Oh. I need to get some of those again.
I might possibly have some stuff for you in the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Including bracelets.
Then I will get.
And a new shirt. I've got a lot for you.
Definitely wear and promote that stuff. This is just good stuff. We started off talking about Kaylee, and the impact, and so many of, like we said, well, all of these kids in some way have either impacted me or just the community around them and their parents. You just can't say. And now, you know, Amy Hardy, who's been in here and has done so much, and talked about Josh and Leslie Leahy and all the others that you have brought in and really introduced to the community.
Yeah, and Amy, I'm sure she'll be coming in relatively soon, because the Josh Hardy event is next month. And she's done an amazing job of raising awareness about their experience, but also she raises money every year for FGP, for Ronald McDonald House, and then also for St. Jude's. And, you know, that's really important. It's sometimes for families how they kind of work through their grief is by giving back to the organizations that served them. And she's awesome, and she continues, you know, everybody knows about Josh. He was. We could talk about him for first half of a show very easily.
Yep. Same kind of. And I never met him. I hesitated, and that's one of those situations where I hesitated to contact them. And now Amy and I all talk. We always talk about. I wish you had.
Yeah, and I only met him, I think, probably twice. But boy, they were memorable meetings. He was just a hoot.
Oh,
that
yeah.
boy was funny.
That's,
I mean,
oh, the stories.
Yeah. Oh, she always. So we always get together around. The anniversary of his passing, and then also his birthday. And for his birthday, we always go to Red Lobster. And she always tells me, like, some story I haven't heard that just completely cracks me up. Yeah, it's awesome.
She did for, I think, and I can't remember now, but it was the spring, and it was for his birthday, and I think it was his would have been his 16th birthday.
Yep.
And we did an interview, and I got so much feedback from that. And we did a video, and it was probably about 10 minutes of her talking about him. And I got so much feedback of people who just said they understood the issue that much, you know, in the fact that she was able to do it.
Right.
And was willing to do it. When I reached out to her, she just, you know, it's like, name the day and the time, and let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, she loves to talk about Josh. In fact, she and I are getting together next week to go for a long walk. We do long walks together, sometimes like 10 miles. I'm like, Amy, come on now. It's a little hot for that. But I'll get to hear about Josh and then about the other boys too. But she almost always gives me a new story that I haven't heard that just totally cracks me up about him.
I remember a few years ago when you did it must have been some kind of a fundraiser, but it was something that the JM track team did in honor of Kaylee. And it was, you did laps over at the JM track. And I remember at the time, Coach Serbay, who at that point was the James Monroe football coach, walking a couple of laps with him, and he was struggling along, and he had just had some surgery. And I remember saying, why are you doing this? And he said, I didn't know Kaylee well, but he said, I had to be here for this. And he said, I knew her well enough to know that I was going to be here. And that just really struck me that's the kind of impact she had at that school.
Yeah, absolutely. And she really did. I think with a lot of people, she had that impact. And I think a lot of the kids did. Like, if you talk to, if we brought in people that were like one step removed from any kid, there's always these great stories about that. Maybe that's what we can do in my next life when we have a podcast together.
Yeah, we've talked about that, actually.
Yeah, we can talk with all the families and bring them to talk about their child and the people around them, the impact. Because the impact is a really important reminder for families that it wasn't all for nothing.
Yes, yeah. Well, good stuff. This, again, is a day, no matter where we are in life, September 1st, you and I will always, at some point when we see that it's 9-1 on the on the calendar, we'll remember this day with Kaylee here.
And if you schedule someone else, I'll kick them out.
Yes, you will. This is my day. This is my time. Andy Ayers, Executive Director of the Fairy Godmother Project, Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month going on right now, fgpinfo.org to get involved. Andy, thanks. We'll see you soon.
Great.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.